Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God which is there to encourage and strengthen us this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God, nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, "Even though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" So far our text. Sanctify us by your word, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. The other day, my wife brought this book home from the library. She likes to bring books home from the library. And Llama Llama Red Pajama. I don't know if you guys have ever read it. It's kind of a cute little fun rhyming story for kids. It's about a child llama who can't sleep because he's afraid and starts crying for his mom, and the mom doesn't come right away, and he gets more afraid that maybe his mom is gone or something, and ends up throwing a temper tantrum because his mom doesn't come as quickly as he wants. It reminded me of this text that we have before us this morning, how much we are often like that little llama. We pray to the Lord, but when he doesn't answer us as soon as we think he should, we begin to doubt, wonder if he's really there, or maybe get angry at him that he's not listening to us. The book reminds us of the patience that is required of parents, and our parable this morning reminds us of how our Father in heaven is a Father of great patience, far greater than we often exhibit as parents. This parable that we have before us today is similar to the one with which we began this series 3 weeks ago. We got interrupted by Reformation and All Saints Day, but if you remember back 3 weeks, we had the parable of the friend knocking at the door of his friend, the neighbor knocking at the door of his friend at midnight, and how he continued knocking, and his persistence finally got his friend to open the door. And here, once again, the Lord encourages us not to give up in our prayers, but to understand just how patient our Father is. What are the elements of the parable before us this morning, and how are they to be understood? The parable begins with an unjust judge. Now, if we think about a good judge, the kind of judge that all of us would like to have, we would say that it would be one who does what is right in the eyes of the Lord, despite what other people think about him. Sometimes even contrary to popular opinion. This, of course, is not such a judge. He does not regard God, Jesus says. He doesn't care what God thinks. Going down a step from a good judge to maybe a decent one who does okay, we would say is probably one who maybe doesn't always do what is right, but at least does what society says is right, at least cares what his fellow men think of him. And once again, this is not such a judge. He not only doesn't care about what God thinks, he doesn't even care what other people think of him. He does what he wants for his own selfish gain, and only that. A bad judge, of course, would be one who takes bribes and gives out verdicts according to those bribes instead of doing what is right. But this judge is worse even than that, because he is not being bribed by the widow's adversaries. He receives nothing. He doesn't want to give her justice just because he doesn't want to be bothered to even hear her case. That's how lazy and selfish this judge is. And yet, the Lord shows us he's even worse than that, because he knows and admits to himself that he doesn't care about righteousness, and he doesn't care what his men think, and he doesn't even care about giving this woman justice when it costs him nothing to do it. He openly admits it to himself. Just doesn't care. The worst kind of judge you could possibly think of. And this is the one whom Jesus uses as an analogy of God, in a one way, of course. If we were to compare God to such a person, it would probably be the crassest blasphemy. But here, Jesus himself compares God to this judge in order to show us that if such a person will give justice, because the widow keeps asking, how much more so? If such a degenerate judge as this will do it, how much more so our good and gracious Father, who is not lazy and does not care about us, but loves us very much. Secondly, we have the widow. And you may remember that women have no official or legal standing in ancient Israel. It was true in many ancient cultures. It was very important, therefore, for women at the time that they had a father or a husband or a son who could go to court and bring their suit to court in their place, because they couldn't do it themselves. Add to that the fact that the woman is penniless. She can't even bribe the judge to hear her. And of no standing, she has no political clout in the community. And then add the fact that she has very little chance, even before a good judge, of getting justice. Now she has to deal with this lazy and wicked and unjust judge. Her case, her opportunities are worse than hopeless. There is almost no chance this woman has of getting justice, and the Lord purposely sets the parable out like that. This woman is an analogy to, Christ tells us, the saints who cry to God the Father. And certainly it seems to us very often, it seems to many saints throughout the history of the world and to the Church of God, that our case is hopeless. The Lord teaches us that we should be loving, that we should turn the other cheek, that we should be forgiving, that we should be generous. And the world around us takes advantage of that and uses it for their own gain. The enemies, the adversaries of the woman in the parable could pretty much do as they like, with very little chance of repercussion from the law. And so many people throughout the history of the world, not so much in our day and in America, but throughout the history of the world, many people have treated Christians in the same way. And then the Christians pray for deliverance. They pray to the Lord to avenge them of their adversaries and to protect them, and it doesn't seem as though the Lord is listening, exactly as the widow felt in the parable. And yet, despite the hopelessness of her case, nonetheless, by her persistence, the Lord tells us, she received justice. And so the Lord encourages us that no matter what it might look like, no matter how often we might think the Lord is not listening to our prayers, that we would not be discouraged in them, but persevere, because Jesus says, how much more so will your Father in heaven avenge his saints who cry to him daily? Although, and there's the sticking point, right? Although he bears with them long. So Jesus acknowledges that, yes, our Father in heaven is patient, not only with us, but with our adversaries. And because of his long-suffering patience with evil, he does not answer our prayers for deliverance as quickly or as eagerly as we might like. But he encourages us not to be discouraged, but that patience, with his patience, with his long suffering of evil. Consider how great our Father's patience is in the account of Adam and Eve's fall into sin. To begin with, Adam and Eve deliberately disobey a direct command from the Lord. He said, "Do not eat from the tree." And they, knowing full well what they were doing, went and ate anyway. Those of you who are or have been parents, imagine your reaction if your children deliberately, in full knowledge and full view of you, disobey a direct command. If you tell them, "Eat your peas," and instead they pick them up and throw them in your face, how would you react to your children? The father's reaction is not to scold or to yell or to punish. But when Adam and Eve deliberately disobeyed his command, in patience he descends and calls to them in love and in forgiveness. And then Adam and Eve, what do? They run away from him and hide. I was in trouble with my father a couple times. But I cannot remember ever even thinking of running away from my father once he said, "Matthew, come here." Or trying to hide. I certainly tried to hide what I had done before he knew or before I thought he knew, but once he knew and said, "Matthew, come here," the thought of running away and hiding never even crossed my mind, because I think I knew what the result would be. It would not have been good for me. Yet Adam and Eve run away and hide from God, and he still shows that everlasting patience, calling them to forgiveness and love. And they come out and stand before him, and then they blame him for the sin that they had done. Imagine if that same child who threw the peas in your face said to you, "Well, it's your fault. You shouldn't have put peas on my plate in the first place." And still, our father's reaction is patient. His response is, "I will clean up the mess that you guys made. I will come as a man and die for your sin." How great is our Father's patience with us. The same patience that he has with Adam and Eve. And this patience, this everlasting patience, this patience that we know and we see over and over again in Scripture, ought to encourage us to open our hearts before him in prayer. Because we do not have to worry about thunderbolts from the heaven ripping us open. We have a Father who already knows our hearts, already knows all the things we have done, and in his loving patience has forgiven us and sent his Son to die for us. Very often, guilt and sin can cause people to avoid the Lord, avoid praying to the Lord, avoid coming to church, because we don't want to come into the presence of God because we know what we have done. Like Adam and Eve, we try and hide in the bushes. Our Father calls us in patience, the same patience he showed to Adam and Eve. "I forgive you, and I will take care of this mess. I will take care of your sin." When we pray, "Our Father in heaven," we are confessing that we have a God who knows us intimately, who knows all of our sins, and who loves us and forgives us anyway, for the sake of Jesus Christ. There is no need to try and hide anything from him, nor is there any point in it. He already knows it all. But he encourages us to trust and believe in his love as our dear Father. This same patience, then, that the Father has for us and has shown us over and over again, he has also for our adversary. those who oppress us, those we might not like too much. And it is because of that patience that he often does not answer our cries for help as quickly as we might like. We might often feel like this widow who cries again and again and yet does not receive an answer. We might often feel like this widow insofar as there is no chance or no hope. For example, we might feel like there is no chance or no hope in our nation getting back on the right path. We might feel like there's no chance, no hope of stopping the propagation of sin, of abortion and of fornication and of drugs and misuse of alcohol and divorce that is growing worse and worse in our nation. We may be tempted to give up in our prayers to the Lord because what difference is it making? It doesn't seem to be helping. Or even closer to home, we might feel like there is no chance of reaching that friend who is an atheist. He's confirmed in his atheism and nothing is going to change him. Or we might feel like there is no chance for a child who is going down the wrong path and we've been praying for them and it doesn't seem to make any difference, or for our own marriage or whatever else is troubling us in our life, we may be tempted to give up in our pleas to help before the Lord. But the Lord reminds us in this parable that it is that very patience of our God that ought to encourage us to pray all the more and even harder. When it seems to us like God is not answering our prayers and nothing is being done, in actuality, in God's love and patience, he is calling the nation back to himself. He is calling that person we may be praying for back to himself. And in his patience and love, he is not striking them down with lightning from heaven. God's word is at work. God is working against one of the hardest substances on this earth, right? The stubbornness of the human heart. And his word is like a sword that can cut us and dice us up into pieces, but God works patiently and lovingly and over time because he does not want to destroy us as he calls us back to himself, but he is the good shepherd who leads us gently and gradually. God's patience with sinners, God's patience with ourselves, ought to encourage us to pray all the harder, knowing that he will, in time, deliver us, and in the meantime, he is working to call those people to repentance. Jesus himself reminds us, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And that same principle applies here as well, doesn't it? Because of the stubbornness of men's hearts, things often do not seem like they're getting better, and it often seems as if God is not listening to our prayers. But Jesus urges us in faith to let that patience encourage us to pray all the more. Remember a few years ago, that very sad mass shooting at the Baptist church in Sutherland, Texas, how 26 were gunned down and killed while in prayer to the Lord. And many prominent atheists used it as an opportunity to make fun of God. If their God is real, why didn't he protect them from the gunmen? Why did he allow them to die? But we see in that event, as well as in so many others, the loving, patient, forbearance, long-suffering of our Father. Jesus says at the end of the parable, though he bears with them for a long time. for a while, he bears with them. He certainly hasn't left us. He certainly hasn't forgotten us. He is bearing with us. He is himself carrying that grief, that pain, that suffering that we feel living in this sinful world. He hasn't forgotten us, but he is bearing with us bearing that burden of the sinfulness and evilness of this world in hopes that more might come to repentance. At the end of the book that I mentioned, Lama Lama Red Pajama, the mom scolds the llama a little bit. The child llama gets pretty angry that his mom doesn't answer him right away, and the mama llama says, I always am nearby. Even if I can't come right away when you call, I'm always nearby. Once again, if an earthly mother, an earthly father, an earthly parent knows how to do that, and we do know how to always be there for our children, how much more so our loving Father in heaven knows how to be there and is always listening to our cries for help, even if it seems as though he does not come right away. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, come quickly and deliver us from this earth. But in the meantime, let your word grow and spread and teach us your patience and love. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.